I participate in numerous social functions. Anytime somebody's having a dance party, I'm right there. Now, you don't even want to see me dance, and neither do they, but I'm there anyway. So I continue to strive for a life of service in my community, recognizing that other than resistance against the dominant paradigm, all we really have is service within our community. I would say that if we do those two things, we're doing as much as one could expect from anybody on this particular planet. So I'm trying to provide for a life of service. It's more difficult than it ever was when I was working at the university. It was easy then, because I could take all those students that nobody else cared about, that nobody else wanted. I could take on the subjects that nobody else wanted to take on and write about them and speak about them. It was easy then. I could teach in prisons, teach poetry in prisons, as I did. And invite all that denigration from university administrators for doing those things. That was easy, and in fact, fun. This is more challenging because I'm the new guy, and I can barely distinguish between, well, you know. What about Austin? Well, suburbia, the model on which the entire Western world is built, discourages interaction between people. If the first thing you see when you drive up to a house is the garage, I'm thinking that's probably not a good way to build a house. But in the suburb I lived in for 18 years, that was all you saw. Every suburb in Tucson is like that. The political process here, I'm sure, like in Tucson, is cumbersome. And there are financial constraints on making other arrangements. Consider, for example, I was warning the leaders of the city of Tucson for years about the impending peak and decline of oil and what that meant for the economy. And they just kept saying, no, 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 there's not enough evidence for that. No, 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 there's not enough evidence for that. Up through 2008, there wasn't enough evidence for it. Starting in 2009, there's so much evidence for it, we don't have any money anymore. The city is flat broke. Gee, I would have never seen that coming. So of course you don't have any money to do anything in Austin anymore. Nobody has any money. All municipalities are broke. Federal government is broke. $14 trillion in debt? At $10 trillion, that was more than all the fiat currency in the world combined, plus all the gold in the history of the world ever mined. And now we're 40% more just within 2 years. Are we broke? Yes, we can. Wait, that didn't match up. And what about leadership? I suspect that leadership here is like it is in other places. So this is what our leaders do, right? Our political leaders are pointing out that this sign has sharp edges. There are terrorists everywhere. Look over here. It's like we're Wile E. Coyote. We're so far in overshoot, we already went off the cliff, but the television's still on. The puppet masters are still up there keeping us occupied. We haven't looked down yet. Oh, also, the bridge is out ahead. That's what this says down.
By the way.
So you can see the river there,
flowing in the background.
Yeah, don't go there. I suspect leadership here is like leadership everywhere. We have the failure of leadership on the issue of energy decline and on the issue of climate change is comprehensive. It doesn't happen at the federal level. It doesn't happen at the state level. It doesn't happen at the local level, any place I know, except Willits, California. It doesn't happen in corporations. It doesn't happen in nonprofits. Doesn't happen anywhere. You think Barack Obama doesn't know that we passed the world oil peak? You think George W. Bush didn't know we were about to? I think probably that's what the Energy Task Force of Cheney was all about. But we'll never know, because nobody wants to know. Stopped asking those questions. The star of the show in terms of durable living is, of course, Lillian. And so here's me with my cheese. I make cheese, and it's edible. Thank you very much. So this Christmas, for presents, I only gave cheese. I make a killer Parmesan.
And it's not cow cheese, it's goat cheese.
That's right. So I make Parmesan, cheddar, Colby, Monterey Jack, ricotta, mozzarella, and chev. All from goats.
Really?
Yes, we can.
We can.
And I do. I've made all of those, and they taste good. We had some friends of ours, some neighbors of ours, come over after they just got back from a cheese and wine tasting extravaganza in Spain. Traveled to Spain just to wander around and eat cheese and drink wine. And so they came over and they said, we got this really funny, strong cheese from the Curious Kumquat, a store in town. So why don't you give it a try? So we sliced them up and we had four or five different kinds there and said, wow, this is good, especially this one. This is great stuff. This is amazing. And so I went outside to chase a chicken out of the garden. Those damn chickens. They're smart enough. They know they're not supposed to be in there. So you just go outside and they jump out of the garden again. If it was a duck, they'd still be there now. So I go to chase them out. I come back in. I assume by now we've given it up. We told them what was happening. I said, so I made some comment about this cheese being aged for 7 months. And they said, you made this? You made this? This is good. This is good cheese. Yeah. We can make cheese.
What kind of goats do you have?
Mutts. All our goats are mutts. So there's long-eared goats and they're, what are they called?
There's
Nubians. Yeah. Are they the long-eared ones? I don't know. They're all mutts in our neighborhood. For example, out of those litters of triplets, and twins, at least one had long ears and at least one had short ears from each litter. So they're all mutts.
Can you make clothing with them yet?
No. In fact, I'm 50. So,
you don't need clothes?
So I don't care. Because I have plenty of clothes to last the rest of my life, even if I live a long time. In fact, I suspect there are enough clothes in the world to last everybody for as long as we'll have humans on the planet. I suspect we don't have to make any more clothes. It'd be nice if we could go back to making clothes, and people in our community actually do loom and spin and make clothes, which I think is freaky. When I first heard about it, I thought, that's freaky as hell. Nobody does that. So, of course, that's a perfectly viable pursuit. I think it's a good idea. I think any measure of self-reliance is a pretty good idea. But I'm not worried about clothes. I got other things to worry about, like cheese.
So the main point of your message is not loom and doom, then.
That's exactly. Exactly. I'm not about loom and doom. Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, will there be food? Yes. Goats are pretty easy to feed. We take ours on a walk every day. We take them through the Nature Conservancy property, commonly known as the Commons, apparently, and let them eat Nature Conservancy food. And then we take them down to the river and then we bring them back. So we don't feed them much hay, which we purchase locally.
Those species of grasses and things like that, those will be surviving?
Oh, it's hard to say. We could be far enough into climate chaos that the Southwest, that no place in the Southwestern United States will be habitable in 20 years. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Where would be?
Where would be habitable? Places further north than this. But not so far north and east that you get into the whole Little Ice Age scenario when the general circulation pump reverses course. So I don't know. And the general circulation models are so coarse in scale that it's very, very difficult to predict where is going to be a decent place to live. In fact, I would argue that we cannot find with any degree of resolution where's going to be a decent place to live 20 years from now. But we have planned 20 years out, given most people don't plan, and most politicians don't plan, say, 4 years out. I think that's about as far as we can go. It's as far as we're willing to go without driving ourselves crazy. And we're already into questions, so let's just keep those going. Yeah, in the back.
The quote Abraham Lincoln, you got your facts right, but you're coming to the wrong conclusions.
I don't think that's a direct quote, but...
Actually, it is. But there's a story behind it that I'll spare you. You probably know it. I agree with you that things are going to get bad. I agree that they might get real gets me about your speech is that it just seems polarized, and I study several of the same issues that you do, and I have very different conclusions. And I'll give you just a couple of quick examples. One is that about 8 years ago, there was a seminar on peak oil in which somebody speaking claimed that there wouldn't be enough gas to get us through the winter of 2003. And I politely said, well, maybe you'd protect your credibility better if you didn't put a time on it, but just said it's likely to happen in the near future.